Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Dark Knight Live. This is Spencer. So it has been a little while since we have been on the air, or I guess on the internet as it were. A couple of things are happening in both my life and Rashad's life that have made it a little bit difficult, but with our commitment to you, the listeners, we wanted to make sure that we were putting out a good product. And so, just to let you know what's going on, if you've been liking the newer format where we're interviewing Chicago artists, we're interviewing different artists from around the United States, I guess, because I've met a couple of people from Memphis as well as a couple of people from out of state that you will be hearing over the next couple of months when we're releasing this episode. This is basically a restart. This is technically season two, but it will be marked as episode one. If you liked a lot of the older interviews that we were doing last season, near the end of the season, we had marked as like the Meet a Chicago Artist series. Those will be released again. I will be releasing them throughout this week and next week with brand new plugs at the very beginning of them for the different artists and what they're doing now. So if you wanted to catch up on what's going on with them. If not though, and you just want to start from here and just check out what's going on, that's great. Okay, getting down to business. Other stuff that's happening. Season 2 of Tenants is out now. We are releasing episodes every Tuesday. We have a new episode coming out next week as well, I believe is the next one, but this episode is dropping the day before episode 7 is coming out. If you wanted to check out a short, we have a pretty funny one that's online right now about a Capri Sun addiction, so check that out. And then we have a new podcast that should be dropping within the next month. So it's a little bit different from what we've been doing before. It's going to be a scripted audio podcast about, well, you'll just have to check it out. I'll give you some more information coming up, not this week, but probably the next episode, because we should be ready to release the first one by then. So anyways, without further ado, this is a new episode of Dark Knight Live, an interview with the cast and crew of Carrier, a new show from Chicago Slamworks. So come check it out. We're playing until June the 9th. Whew. I am with my castmates from Carrier for a very special recording of Dark Knight Live. Tell people
Dark
who you are.
Dark Afternoon Live.
Dark Afternoon Live.
Dark Matinee Live.
So who is everybody?
I am Sam Dedian.
I'm Tegan Walsh Davis.
I'm Rashad Hall.
Whitney Currier.
Hey. So what's going on, guys?
Well, I'm currently braiding Sam's hair, is what I'm doing. And then I think we're going to perform this play that we've made.
Oh, yeah.
Are we, though?
Oh, yeah.
I hope we are. I guess that's a great phrase.
What if this is, like, the moment we found out that we're not actually doing this today?
That the show is, like, canceled?
The show is over.
Yeah,
the
show's
that's
canceled.
Sad. I mean, that'd
be one-off.
That'd be an exclusive moment.
Exclusive
moment.
Right.
You nailed it in this moment where it was all canceled. Yeah. So we're doing the show called Carrier. Tegan, do you want to speak on it? Because you're what? Something of
lead
the writer on it?
What? I am what?
You
something
wrote
of the writer.
Yeah.
I am the lead writer. So Carrier is a Chicago Slamworks Ensemble Theater original production. This is our ninth world premiere show in 3 years. And no, it's about family and legacy and memory and sort of genetic inheritance and emotional inheritance and physical inheritance, and the ways that we become our parents and our grandparents and our ancestors, and the way that we can either choose to continue that lineage or to cut it off.
Yeah.
So this is my first experience working with them, and like the first thing that I experienced was the writing process, which is basically just a bunch of writers around like a legit writer's table, reading off different pieces from just, what is it? Did you give us prompts beforehand?
Well, there were a few prompts. Before we started writing, I think I emailed out a few prompts, or not even necessarily like specifically write this thing, but here are the things that I'm thinking about. Here are the things that are like the most present in my mind as I tried to kind of put together the structure and the sort of the focal point of the script so that I kind of knew what I was doing. And so, yeah, I was mostly about like, start thinking about, are you turning into your parents? Are you not? Why? Do you feel like identity is predestined? Why or why not? And all of those kinds of things, you know, a few questions. And then I had people kind of just go. And then once we got in, we kind of, you know, I pulled some writing prompts that I gave in the room based on discussions that we had or based on people's existing pieces that they brought in.
And then she explained it as going to her house and pasting all of the pieces on the walls.
Yeah,
murder boarding.
Yes, we in Chicago Slamworks parlance refer to that process as murder boarding, which does not include any actual violence, at least in my experience.
towards other people.
It involves emotional violence towards myself.
Yeah.
But no, it's JW and I.
Creative violence.
Yeah, creative violence. Killing your darlings kind of violence. Mm-hmm. But no, JW and I made up that term. A couple of years ago when we were working on putting together the script for the last show that I lead wrote called Handsome Animals, which Sam and Rashad are both in. So basically we described it that way because it involved a lot of the way that he used to do the process when he would piece together the scripts is he would take a bunch of index cards, and each index card would have a different piece's title on it.
Yeah.
And then in order to see things in a different order or be able to like move them around and see how it would look in succession, he would kind of stick them all on a bulletin board and then move them around. And so we've sort of spent a long time staring at this bulletin board in his apartment, like drinking whiskey and shouting at each other. And we were sort of joking about how it was like a shitty detective show where they're like trying to catch the serial killer by like putting all the things on the board and like tying them together with string to like make the connection.
Yeah.
So we started calling it murder boarding.
Are you tying string to things as you're going about doing this?
Not so much literally. But it was a fun image that was sort of how it started. But the process for this was very similar. It was we did 4 weeks of writing, and then everybody brought in a whole ton of shit. Fun thing I learned about this is that everyone has a lot to say about family. What?
So much.
Shocking.
Yeah, weird.
No, this was like absolutely the highest one. I think this was the largest writing staff we've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
We had 13 writers, including all of us. And that's the most people we've ever had in the writer's room. And also, this ended up being the highest volume of raw material that we've ever had. So it was an interesting process for me doing
the mantra of just put it in the drive.
Right, just put it in the drive. Put it in the drive. Because we operate with Google Drive. And so everybody just like, if they have a thing that they want to write, it's just like, put it in the drive. So it's in the pot so we can get to it if we want it. Because, I mean, the thing we like to say too is that like, no piece is ever really dead. Like when I was sorting through it, even if it was something that I knew wasn't going to go in the script in its full complete form, I would still go back and look at it. Like I had a four parts or like a scrapyard folder where I would put stuff where I was like, I know there's a good line in this that even though the piece is not going to live, I can take that line and use it for something else.
Yeah.
So everything sort of becomes raw material in this weird creative fondue pot. And then I spent about 38 hours or something putting the script together, and then Drew and I did some work, and then we brought it in. It was a process of about 3 days from like all the material is in here to we have a finished script.
Yeah. So I know that Sam has one inside of the show, but like everybody that was in like this like writing circle was writing mostly about real people in their real lives. What is what's it like to do other people's lives on stage?
It's interesting for me to do a couple of the pieces in this show because you really, really want to make sure that it is still true to the writer, but that you're finding a way to connect to something that you haven't personally been through, especially with something as like touchy as family. And I think honestly, the hardest part is somebody else's cadence and figuring out how, I mean, that's with anything that you act, but poetry is a little sharper.
Yeah.
and finding a way to represent them and understanding what their cadence is and still making it your own is the challenge of any actor. But it's a little heightened in this particular
piece. Yeah, I feel like it's especially hard because in many cases it's people that you know really well and have listened to them talk a lot.
Yes.
And they're going to see you in the show.
Right. Or they have performed the actual piece that you're performing somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, not most of the writers, but there are a good handful of writers here last night. And I messed up one of the lines, which nobody else noticed except her because she wrote it. But
she came to you
afterwards. Totally forgot like a good sentence and a half in her piece, and I came up to her afterwards, and I was like, "I'm really sorry, I messed up your piece a little bit." And she was like, "Oh, I just thought that it was cut." And I was like, "Oh, okay, great." So it came off that it wasn't even great. I did a good job. Okay.
So we shouldn't have had this conversation.
Right.
Cool. Bye.
Right. So next time I won't say anything. Yeah. But they all were super excited and really, really liked the show, which is the highest compliment.
Yeah. It also has a lot of like people that are in the show doing their own pieces that they wrote. Like, like that is our pre-show music that just started, by the way. It's gone now. But like Rashad has one that's about Disney Dad, which I love, where he's like talking about what is the line, how does it actually go at the very start where you're talking about who your dad is?
I say my father is like Goofy from the Goofy movie, but really he's like Rick Moranis and Joe Biden. Equal parts all of that except black.
Yeah.
And
that line is fantastic, by the way.
And thanks. And when we were in the writing room, the prompt was like, we were writing a lot about like what like the idea of family was, but then we were talking about like who are the people in our families that like we want to talk about. And it just kind of came out of just old memories, and it I wanted to capture like a nostalgic quality but still like give it like a lot of fun and energy.
Yeah.
So it's really cool because the rest of the cast, all of y'all are supporting me there wearing like mustaches to kind of like be my father.
Mustaches.
Glittery mustaches, and it's so fulfilling and wonderful.
Yeah. One of the most, the weirdest part of, like, the rehearsal process is I missed one day of rehearsal, and it was the day that you blocked that entire piece.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, the next time I came in, I was like, oh, it is all of these vignettes. And they were like, oh, you have blocking. Be prepared. It's a lot more blocking than you thought it was.
Going to be playing basketball.
Yeah.
Fine, you'll figure it out.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Yeah. And then Whitney has one too that's really cool about her tattoos.
My skin. It's about my skin.
Skin saying it in the murderiest way possible.
It's about my skin. Come see the show. It's about my skin.
Yeah.
I think it was definitely a cool opportunity to get to talk about something, you know, like I'm a fairly tattooed person, and I'm a fairly tattooed actor, and I was thinking about in opening yesterday how I get to do this piece that's about why I get tattoos and like where it came from, and you know, I had a tattooed family and especially a very tattooed father, and my dad died of lung cancer many years ago, and I get tired of writing about that because it seems like that's all I ever talk about him about. So it was a cool opportunity to look at that importance and loss in a different way. And also, when I was in undergrad, I had significantly less tattoos, but my professors had told me on multiple occasions that if I ever wanted to be a professional actor, I would have to stop. And I gave them all a mental fucking middle finger, you know, like going into the show yesterday thinking like, well, I'm not, you know, whatever professional means, you know, I've been working in the city since I moved here and all I've gotten is 10 times more tattoos. And now I get to do a piece about my tattoos and it's pretty dope. So. Yeah. It's
a multifaceted opportunity.
Yeah, my wife, she works in hair and makeup, and she was doing it in college too. And one of the first like big shows that she did in college was I cannot remember the name of it. It's about a woman that's like talking about her life before and her life after she's gotten cancer.
Wit? She dies in Wit.
Yeah. But spoiler. At the end of it, so if you haven't seen Wit, be prepared to be spoiled. She has this like massive back tattoo. And so like Caitlin had to come in and like do a back tattoo cover of it like every single day.
That's a life.
And wow. She's just like, oh, this has got to be really difficult. So like when I saw that you were like, I saw you without like long sleeves for first time, and I was actually wondering about that. Have you seen it like affect you since you got into Chicago, or not really?
Well, I don't really go for like Broadway shows, you know. So like if you're singing and dancing, like fuck yeah, I'm not gonna get a lot of work. But storefront theater is very open to it. Yeah. I remember my first show post-college, I was working for EP Theater down in Pilsen that doesn't exist anymore, but I just had a couple of visible tattoos on the back of my legs, my feet tattoos, and I think like one other thing, and I went out of my way to say, I have tattoo cover-up makeup, I will cover it up, I will, you know, because I was in a dress, and they were like, oh no, we like that you have them, it makes you a more interesting character, and I was like, brain exploded all around. But the rest of the storefront theater that I've done, if they don't want me showing it, I'm just in long sleeves.
Yeah.
So it really hasn't been an issue. I seek that work out now.
Yeah, and also, I mean, I feel like, one, it's way more common to see performers with visible tattoos in shows, mm-hmm. Unless it's like very specifically a period piece, and even then, like sometimes if they're doing something anachronistic, they'll go
right.
for it.
Yeah.
But also, yeah, I mean, like the degree to which tattoo cover-up makeup has evolved is astonishing. Like I remember when I was in college, there was a dude that I went to school with. Hi, Jeremy Tewitt. I don't know what you're doing now, but
hey.
He had this gorgeous black and gray half sleeve, like a full like shoulder to elbow. Big old dark piece on his arm, and we were doing a period show where we were doing a show about a turn of the century circus, and he was a strong man, so he had to wear this like little like leopard print leotard, and we were like, what are you gonna do? And he managed to cover up that tattoo completely to the point that you did not know he had it.
Wow.
Every day. It took him like 20 minutes.
Wow.
See, like I don't know if I would get into a conversation about that, because like tattoos have been around forever, so like why wouldn't a strong man in a circus have a tattoo?
Right. Exactly.
Like you gotta be imagining, especially if it's like a turn of the century circus, that you know, you have a freak show in that circus.
Right, like somebody's probably got some tattoos. But yeah, I was just always amazed that it was so easy. Like it took a lot of makeup, but it was reasonably easy for him to do. So
didn't in old freak shows they used to have like the painted men and stuff, the
and
people
the
that had
tattooed
like tattoos
woman?
The tattooed lady.
Yeah.
That
oh, yeah.
is so weird that like
that was
such a like complete oddity at the time, mm-hmm. even though like so many people in the world got that done.
Yeah.
And
oh,
I
yeah.
wonder if like the whole connection with it with sailors and like olden time sailors is just because they were going to foreign lands, and in foreign lands they were already doing it all the time.
Yeah.
So if like they went, it's like the very first time that somebody went across seas and got a tramp stamp that said something they didn't want it to say in like a Chinese character or something. He says it means life, but it really it's like hot dog.
Yeah,
hot dog.
Yeah,
it's this cool new thing that they're doing overseas.
Yeah,
stamps.
Come see it.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know that's. I mean, that's how like. Most things happened with somebody went somewhere else and was like, oh my god, they're doing this awesome fucking thing somewhere else. Let's steal it and do it here and pretend we invented it.
So that's like the weirdest thing about like fireworks inside of the United States is like fireworks started from like a Chinese tradition.
Yeah.
And we brought it over from when we were bringing over like spices and like.
We're like, this thing's
like
fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to use it to celebrate our country.
Yeah.
What?
Now it's synonymous with our independence, something we brought to from another country.
Well, that's the thing, like, and this is a whole other conversation that can span
America.
Several days. But yeah, like, that's the thing to remember about America is that, like, literally everything that we do is stolen from somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, we fucking took everything because we didn't, you know.
Except for jazz.
We did jazz.
We made it.
But like anything that you know, America had in the past like couple hundred years is like probably taken from somewhere else.
Yeah.
We're and melting we maybe pot, adapted y'all. It. We maybe adapted it into something else, and then it like evolved from there. But like, you know, it was that exact thing of we're a young country, and there was a blank slate, and we were like, oh, let's take all of these things from other places and then make it our thing because we don't have a thing yet.
But we're a beautiful melting pot, Tegan.
I know. Anyway,
we're a bunch of assholes.
So we're getting ready to go on here in just a little bit. Everybody else is finishing beautifying. Sam has a very, very small looking bottle of wine that's really what, like a lip stain
it's
or something?
It's called wine lip tint. It's a Korean makeup that has something from actual wine
that's right.
in here. I ordered it on Mimi Box and shipped it to Tegan's house because I don't get my mail.
Is that just a thing?
But it works really well. Like, put a couple layers on and it's on pretty much for the whole day, so...
Sweet.
Why not put it on for the show?
Wine,
a springy
not.
Pink
wine
in there.
Not.
Wine not.
Jokes.
No
we
good.
We got jokes.
Writers. Cool. Jokes.
Yeah, so we're about to go on here in just a little bit. So say bye, people, and come see Carrier.
Yeah.
Bye. We run until June 9th.
Oh, yeah. We're running until June 9th. We're on every Friday and some Saturdays.
Every Friday and then Saturday matinees today, obviously. If you're listening to this, you missed today, so too bad for you.
Well, get here right now.
Get here right now. But no, we've got Saturday matinees at 2 o'clock on May 27th and on June 3rd. And other than that, we are every Friday night at 8:15 at Stage 773 through June 9th. So
cool.
You should come
be
check
there.
It out.
We have some Gold Star tickets if you're worried about
prices.
If you're worried about money, we're on Gold Star. Also, you can use the code ROOTS on the Chicago Slamworks website to get $5 off your ticket.
Yeah. So thanks for coming out.
Woo.
Bye. Yeah.
Bye. Thank you so much to everybody who's listened to these past couple of episodes. They've really meant a lot, and it's really, really cool to start interviewing people around Chicago, these fantastic artists that have given up their time to talk with me. So if you are listening to this and you're an artist around Chicago and you'd like to be on the episodes, please, please, please reach directly out to us, darknightlivepodcast@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. And without further ado, thank you, as always, to our fantastic sound editor. His name is Rashad English of Plain English Productions. He's really fantastic. He makes every episode sound great, even though sometimes we're outside recording by the side of the street. And thank you so much to Nick Black. You should check out his record, actually. He does the intro, outro music, all the little things in between. He is a fantastic artist, and you should really check him out, especially if you're from Memphis. He's local. All right. Woo.
Let's make something beautiful. Take it from the best of both worlds. You give half, I'll give the other. But then together is one. Let's make something beautiful. Take it from the best of both worlds. You give half, I'll give the other. But then together is one.